Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by The Garden Grocery, your online grocery store. For all your Disney grocery needs, they will deliver to any of the fine Disney resorts. Contact Garden Grocer at thegardengrocer.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in a deluxe resort at reduced prices, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area for any of their Orlando attraction, contact Elite at elitevacationhomes.com. And you can find all of our fine sponsors on our website at It's All In WDW. So come on, guys, let's hop on the train, head over to the pub, and we'll talk to you soon.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug. Good morning.
How are you doing today, my friend?
Just peachy keen.
Oh, that's awesome. The voice of reason is peachy keen. Don't get much better than that. If only Judith liked me as much as you, Dan, it would be a great day. You know that?
Yeah, you tease her too much.
No, I don't. I keep trying to get her to love me as much as you, but it's never going to happen. You're the apple of her eye, buddy.
Yeah, I guess. Us New Englanders got to stick together.
Yeah, I hear you. All the Jersey girls scream at me, so that ain't happening down here. So I got to find another state. But anyway, yeah. Florida here, me and my wife come. But drinking a nice Starbucks coffee today. I gotta get some Jaw for You orders in here for these Sunday mornings coming up. But I'm drinking a coffee. It's a little chill in the air up on the Northeast next week. It's going to be.
I tell you, I woke up this morning and the AC was on from last night, and I put sweatpants and a sweatshirt on. It's that cool up here.
Yeah, it was like 60 degrees out, 58 degrees this morning, and we had the same thing. The air was blowing, and I went out and let the dog out. I'm like, man, it's cooler outside than when the air blowing upstairs.
Yeah, this is one of the strangest summers that we've had in a while. I mean, we've had multiple cool days in July and August, and as you know, we're usually stuck in 10 days of hazy, hot, humid weather, and knock on wood, we haven't had an extended hot streak. I mean, we've had a few hot days, nothing really out of the, you know, crazy, you know?
Yeah, we had that 1 week run of the high 90s that we were baking on that job, but since then, it's nice because we're working up at Princeton, and at lunch and break time, we go out and sit. There's like all these benches and stuff right on the main thoroughfare there. And we'll go out there, and they have all these trees. Oh, my goodness. It's like beautiful eating lunch and break these last couple weeks.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with the weather, but it certainly is different and good.
Maybe global warming took a break for a few weeks.
Yeah, that's it.
Polar bears will get the rice caps back, I'm hoping. But yeah. No, it's well, we'll get blasted in September and October. We're not going to get away with this. You know that.
Oh, yeah. That'll happen. We will end up with a summer in September. You're right. Something will happen. We'll pay down the road. You're right.
Exactly. But no, it's saying the 70s, high 70s and low 80s all this week. So, Disney Dave, we got good air. We got good weather too, buddy. Just don't have the beaches that are as pretty. Or the attitude. You walk out on the beach in Hawaii, they say aloha. You walk out on the beach here, they say, where's your beach tag?
Yeah. Get off the beach.
Get off the beach. Your property taxes aren't enough. Nah, but Disney Dave, I mean, aloha 808. I haven't seen him on Twitter in the past few days. I hope everything's going okay with him.
Yeah, maybe he took a little vacation and he's off the grid for a while. I don't know.
Yeah, but everybody listened to his podcast. He does a good job. I enjoyed that. I mean, he had some real star power on there, a few episodes. I was on one of them, you know.
Oh, yeah. That in itself would up the ratings.
Oh, absolutely. It would make three people listen and five people not.
Yeah.
He'd lose in the end.
Gonna take the good with the bad.
So, but did you celebrate Tom Brady's birthday the day after mine?
Oh yeah. Happy belated birthday. I know you got a lot of birthday wishes on Twitter and Facebook and all the friends of the show. You all right turning the big 5-0? And it didn't bother you at all?
I had a little bit of depression, but yeah, I was okay. Yeah. It's weird. It just makes you think about things you didn't think of. Like, you know you're on the back nine now.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no doubt about it. But the one thing I will say, the reason I brought that up is there was so much greatness born in that week. Me,
right.
Tom Brady, Lou Mangiello. I mean, come on. I mean, they're all fit. We all fit in the same breath, right?
Yeah, there you go. About on the same caliber.
Yes. But, yeah, you know you're on the back nine. I just hope it's the back nine of Augusta.
Yeah, yeah.
you know the back is as good as the front. Because I play some courses where from the street, all the holes look beautiful.
Right.
The ones that are hidden are the ones that are the problem. And they're usually the back nine. So I'm hoping the back nine of my life is Augusta.
Yeah. Well, the old saying, you're only as old as you feel, right? So, you know, you're in good shape and healthy and, you know, so you'll be fine.
Yeah, I still beat the kids around. I still get, you know, at work. I still keep up with all of them. You know what I'm saying? So as long as I can keep up with them, I'm okay.
Yeah. But it is one of those times to reflect, though, when you, you know, just think about where you are and what you're doing and, you know, where you want to go and what your plans are. It is a time for reflection. At least it was for me when I turned 50.
Well, with the other, like for years, like when you're 30s and 20s and 30s, you're like, I still got 20 years to get my crap together.
Right.
I still got 30 years. Oh, my God. And now all of a sudden you hit 50. You're like, damn, I got 15 years. That's it.
Yep.
I better get all these eggs in the right basket or it's it. But
yep. And the days zip by quicker and the weeks zip by. And, you know, we were just saying before that we just started recording, you know, you don't want to wish it away because, you know, you want to cherish each and every day and week. But, you know, you want to get to those vacations and the fun stuff. But unfortunately, the other work stuff got to happen in a day in and day out basis, too, you know.
Absolutely. I want to say, as long as I have my beautiful bride with me for the next 50 or whatever it's going to be, I'll be a happy man. So she gave me a great birthday, and I want to thank her for that. I had a wonderful day. Got Disney gift cards then.
Gift cards? You got your train band there, and you're all set?
I'm good to go. But you're right, then. Like, I was – the other thing, like, I'm excited about my Eagles. I've said this before. I'm really excited about the Sixers. And I want the seasons to start, and then our vacations in December. I mean, it's like, but everybody knows how much I love summer. As much as we talk about the weather, I would rather it be hot than cold any day of the week for what I do.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, you wear stilts for 8 hours a day. The cold weather don't help it.
Right.
Or the weather.
Right. No, I agree. I'd be in that line of thinking if I were you as well.
I mean, like, even when you leave the office, then I know, and I'm not trying to make light of this, but you got to leave the office constantly and go around campus all the time. Am I right?
Yep.
How much nicer is it on a warm day than it is when there's snow and ice and everything around?
Right, right. I agree.
It's just so much. The summers are so much better. Speaking of summers and vacations and everything, you see our good buddy Pat Jannetty's down in the world?
Yeah. I think we were talking about that on last week's show, that he was, I believe he was actually traveling or en route when we were recording last Sunday. Was that true?
No, he was getting ready to head down. He actually
He
started it. I think he got down there on August 1st. So, yeah, maybe. Yeah, right around my birthday he left to head down, the day before.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, he saluted me for my birthday with a golden monkey at the Animal Kingdom. Did you see that?
I did not see that, but I thought he was giving you a different kind of salute.
No, for a change, he wasn't. He was actually being nice to me for a change.
Ah, okay. He's playing nice now.
And did you see the video he put out? This is Pat Jannetty from the Mickey Dudes podcast, our friends. They do a good job over there, even Dave. But anyway, did you see he went over to the Joy of Tea and did a video for it?
Oh, no, I didn't see that. I'll definitely have to check it out after the show.
Yeah.
Twitter, Instagram?
Twitter. Okay. I retweeted. It might be on Instagram, too, but I know I seen it on Twitter. You know, he mentions me and the boy. He goes, Doug, Grumpy67, Doug and the boys. And And he said the price did not go up, but it's a whole video. Go watch it. It's really neat. And then he also did a video with our friends over at Victory with the Golden Monkey. He got a Golden Monkey because they were at Animal Kingdom. He loved Pandora. He's going to come on very soon, as soon as he gets back, and do a trip report.
Oh, awesome.
So, you know,
we haven't had Pat on in a while. That'd be good.
Yeah, he wants to come on. He said he's going to do a trip report with us because, you know, they do that, but they don't. I don't think they do that. Like, you know, we've been doing that with him for years, so he said he wants to come on and continue the tradition, so we're happy about that. Even if you don't like me, he can talk to you.
Yeah, right. Hopefully he can go on Hall of Presidents or one of those things while he's down there too, and he can give us his read on that.
Well, the Hall of Presidents won't be open, so he'll have to go into
American Adventure
and check that out. But all kidding aside, he put up a post, and we were talking this week because me and him got into a big joking match with Judith, and everybody was involved. It was like fun. We were kidding back and forth, picking on each other. And then at the end of it and all, he did say, like, how we all enriched his life. He's glad we're all friends. And we've said that many a times on this show. My best friends now are you guys.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I totally agree with that.
You and John are my boys now, and Bob. You know what I'm saying? The three of, you know, and Pat and Dave. As much as we kid with Dave and all, I like the whole community. Judith, I mean, over at Judith, she does a great, you know, she's a friend. She's part of the family. She's our soccer mom. And Carmen and Brian over at Peas and Carrots and Jen and Scott at Happiest Vlog. I mean, all of us, even Mike and them from the BR. Like, I consider everybody my friends. We have been enriched by this, in my opinion, and Pat's become a really good – I speak to Pat more than half my friends I've known from school.
Right. Yeah, no, it's true. You kind of drift away from them, you know, buddies you had back in high school and whatever that you may have kept in touch with. But, yeah, we do the show, and everything we do is either related to Disney through the podcast or planning vacations or whatever, you know. My friends are in the Disney community, absolutely.
No, it's just awesome, and it means a lot. I mean, all kidding aside, that Pat takes the time on his vacation to run a little joke by me.
Right.
You know, he said he seen me and you over at Hollywood Studios with the, you know, the two grumpy old men at Muppets.
Waldorf and Statler.
Yeah, Muppets, and just, you know, and I know what that is. That takes effort when you're on your vacation. You're taking time from your family to be thinking of us means a lot, and. You know, Pat's a dear friend of the show, and we really appreciate it. I'll drink I wish it was a Joffrey's to him.
Yeah, right.
But you know what I'm saying, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
Me and you. I know
absolutely.
I'm a pain in the butt. I call you all the time, but nobody else does, so at least I should get some credit for that.
Right, absolutely. You keep the train running down the track, that's for sure. If you didn't push forward, we wouldn't be half the places we've been, so I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, just that meetup last year, did you see Carmen and them? Again, I met the Adventures of Peas and Carrots, but did you see they did Flashback Friday?
I did not. I've been kind of off the grid this weekend.
Actually, you got a daughter getting married soon, and you got things to do, you know.
Well, not only that, but not to talk about work, but the summer session ended about a week ago. So we only have like 4.5 weeks, and we got all the dorm rooms. We got to get painted and patched and the shades fixed and furniture fixed and everything ready for the opening of school. So I had guys working this weekend, and I've just been straight out since a week ago. I know you know what that's like.
I know 100% what that's like, because my dad used to run the janitors for our school system down here.
Oh, okay. So,
and
you know,
he used to call winter his vacation.
Right.
So all he'd have to do is, because he ran all of them, but his school was school number one, and the lunch ladies flirted with him all the time. They would give him, like, they'd make special treats for him. And he just they were his girls. It was like Don's Angels at the school, because it was 90% women that worked at his school.
Right.
And he would go around and, you know, fix a chair or fix something, like anything that broke, like, during the year. But they didn't do the major things of strip the floors. And they did all that. The summertime was the growing time.
Right, right. Yeah, and most people think, oh, you work at a school, you must be just slow this time. The kids are gone. No, that's when you're the busiest. When the kids are back, you can kind of catch your breath, believe it or not.
Exactly, because you're out, like, the summertime, all the teachers go home. But all the staff, everybody else stays.
Yeah, it's funny. The campus is like a ghost town. It's just the staff. You're right. Most of the faculty have summer homes, mm-hmm. or they go back home, or, you know, there's just a few, you know, here and there. But for the most part, it's just the staff that's there. You know, as usual, the guys that do all the work to keep the school running, and then they'll all come back and all heck will break loose in a couple weeks.
Yeah, because I used to go in and make my dad look like a hero, too. No, seriously, I loved him, man. But he would have to do the same thing as you and get his guys and get the classrooms. They'd wax, strip all the floors, wax them, yep. repaint all the classroom, fix drywall, do this, do that. Well, he would let me in on Saturdays, and I would run through all the classrooms for him and do the drywall touch-up.
Oh, nice.
And I would get what took other schools a couple weeks to get done in a weekend. You know what I mean? Because those guys didn't do that all the time.
Right,
but I would do his school for him and run in there, and then I would even help him paint sometime. I would stop by after work because if I went in early and I was done at 1, 2 o'clock, I would fly over there and help him out for a couple hours, roll out some rooms. And so I would try to get him because he would always finish like a week or two before the other schools. But they didn't know he had the worker elves that would come in and help him. He would he would meet all the guys at the bar once a month, and they'd be complaining about how far they're just going to make the deadline. He'd be like, I'd be sitting there with him sometime. He'd be like, we have no problem. I'm like a week ahead, like making them feel bad. But he wouldn't tell them that his son and my buddy Bill were in there helping him because my best friend would go with me too.
Right.
But, you know, you do that for pops. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, that was nice of you. That's a good son that you did that for him. You know, and you're right. He'd probably get to go out to puff his chest out with the other guys. They were trying to figure out how he's getting all this work done quicker than they can, right?
Exactly. But, you know, I told the story of my mom and dad separated when I was a kid, and he was always good to me. We were always close, but I'd only see him once a week. You know how that is.
Yeah.
So, but he used to work at – he drove truck, and then he worked at schools when I was younger at night before he became the foreman of all of them. He would work part-time. And the cool thing was is I would go up on Wednesdays and play basketball. He'd open the gym up for me and my friends.
Yeah, see, that was your payback.
Yeah, so we play ball every Wednesday night. Then we end up getting a league there with him on Wednesdays, but I got to see him. And then as I got older, Dennis, to be honest with you, doing that was – I was getting paid by getting to spend time with him.
Right.
I just wanted to be there with him, so I would go hang out with him, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good that you realized that at the time. I mean, sometimes people overlook that stuff and don't realize how lucky they have, you know, spending time with somebody is invaluable, you know.
Well, that's why I'm so thankful my mother-in-law lives with me. The guys at work, they give you ribs and stuff like that. I lost my mom at 58. My dad was 64. They were both babies. And I'm glad that I was very involved with both of them. Even on the way home from work, I'd stop by and see my dad 2-3 times a week just to pull in. And I could still hear him say when I walked through the door, "How you doing, Doug?" Because he'd sit in his lounge chair. And anytime I get sad by saying – I could see him every time. That's the one thought that's always in my mind. And then I see him also at Riverside. How you have the upper railings?
Mm-hmm.
I could still see him in this dark green shirt and shorts leaning over the railings – and with his back, and know how the foliage all comes up along the railings?
Yep.
I could still see that vivid picture in my mind every time I think of him. So I lost both my parents at a young age, but the only thing I don't regret is I know I was a good son as far as I always wanted to be around him. I always wanted to see him. So if one thing I could say to you guys is as I am getting older, make sure you take the time to visit family, be with family, see family. I love the fact that my mother-in-law lives with me. I wouldn't change it for anything because her and my wife get along so good. And she's good to me. I mean, you know, we have differences, but you always have differences with family. You argue with your daughter, but you still love her. Am I right, Dan? If you're in under the same roof, you're going to have things. But I wouldn't change it for the world. We get along wonderful. I love her to death. And the thing is, I love the fact that my wife gets to spend all the time she can with her. She's 83 years old. She still gets around phenomenal. She still drives. But I love the fact that her and Brendan can go shop and do things. They're always together because I wish I still had that with my mom and dad.
Right. Yeah, that is awesome. And that is the big picture, and that's the important stuff. So you're absolutely right.
But, yes, I'm so glad he went to Disney with me on that trip because I do have memories of him. And I tell the story of him wearing the slicker.
Yep.
The raincoat. So they're the memories that you're always going to have. So as you get the point is, Dan, as I've gotten older, you do think about that stuff more.
Yep, absolutely.
Thinking of stuff, you want to head to the parks and read some news because we got quite a bit of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is quite a bit of stuff going on down there. So details being added to the projection towers at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Freeze up on you?
No, we're good. Okay. The projection towers at Disney's Hollywood Studios are receiving some additional architectural details. Originally installed for the new Star Wars Galactic Spectacular, the towers located on Hollywood Boulevard house the projectors for the park's nighttime shows. So I don't know if you're looking at the pictures, Doug, but they're kind of two towers that are at the end of, Sunset Boulevard, the main drag there?
I think it's Hollywood Boulevard.
Okay. Yeah, so, they have lights and stuff on them, but they're making some additions to them. I'm actually surprised they're as plain-looking as they are. I wonder if they're going to dress them up as they go along or something like that. Don't they look kind of plain to you for being in the park?
They are plain, but they have that Spanish style that, like, the Brown Derby has, if you see in the background. And yeah. I think they're kind of, in a way, I think they're kind of keeping them that way because they don't want to take away from other things around them.
Yeah, that's true. They don't want to draw attention away from other architectural features of the buildings or it's around it.
Yeah, I think they just wanted to blend in with the facade of the area is what I'm thinking. I mean, did you see that? Speaking of that, did you see that they've also, with the Hollywood Studios, they've changed some of their dessert parties and stuff like that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they've the dessert party. They have the Star Wars party where the Star Wars tour at Hollywood Studios is shifting hours, removing dessert and reducing the price. Like they had that Star Wars thing where you could do that, and then you get the dessert party where you get preferred seating for the spectacular, the Star Wars spectacular. Yep. Well, they're no longer doing the dessert party. And the rumor behind it is they reduced the price with the dessert party from $121 down to $99.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that's weird is the part of the story I seen was Star Wars launch bay is expected to close earlier in the evening, starting on October 1st, as part of budget cuts at the park, which could be a reason for some of these changes. So what they're speculating, there's budget cuts right now. And I guess it's because of all the construction going on, is what I would say, and all the things closing down and cutting back. So, but I just found that funny. I mean, so now you got to do this thing. You got to do the Star Wars tour during the day, and then you get the seating at night. You no longer get to go to the dessert party.
It is kind of funny though to hear budget cuts. They're spending what, billions of dollars probably in construction, and they gotta. Budget cut. I don't know. It just kind of sounds funny.
It's a spur in your boot. Is what a little stone in the boot. It kind of drives you nuts.
Yep.
And then I got another story here with the studios. We'll stay here instead of bouncing all over the place if that sounds good to you.
Yep.
Appetizers removed from the Fantasmic dining package. Did you hear about this one?
I did not.
Yeah, beginning January 1st, 2018, the Fantasmic Dining Package at Disney Hollywood Studios will be removing appetizers from the offerings at the Brown Derby, Mama Melrose, and Ristorante Italiano. Beginning on the dining package will include one entree, dessert, non-alcoholic beverage, and a select full-service restaurant or one buffet where applicable. One voucher for guaranteed seating at Fantasmic in a reserved area. The new pricing will be Mama Melrose Italiano, lunch, dinner, $42 adult, 18 children. Hollywood and Vine, breakfast, Disney Junior Play and Dine, 41 adult, 24 children. Lunch and dinner, Minnie's Seasonal Dine, 59 adult, 35 children. The Hollywood Brown Derby, lunch and dinner, 62 and 22 for children, while the Brown Derby and Mama Melrose are $3 cheaper, is what it came down to. And the thing that cracks me up is they reduced this price by $3, right, then?
Yeah.
For what? Where? I defy anybody on the planet, and I don't want to get fired up because I don't want this show always to be about me being angry because I'm not. But it's just little things like this that most people would just glaze right over, probably Pat. Say he'll find the opposite side to argue. But I defy you to find any appetizer on Disney property that costs $3.
Right. Yeah, there's nothing for $3. I agree.
So they reduced the price by $3, and they're actually making more money.
Yep. That's true.
I mean, and that's the stuff that drives me nuts. It's like, why can't you just reduce it by $8, what normal appetizers are?
Right, right. That's not a realistic cost. You're right. With $3, you know, there's almost nothing on property you can get for $3.
I mean, the crab cakes at and I'm just speaking off the top of my head, the crab cakes at Brown Derby are like $15 or $18.
Right.
I can't get that. You're going to deduct it by $3.
Yep.
So these are the things that drive me nuts, and everybody looks at me like I'm the ogre on the show. You know, like, I don't want to complain. I really don't, but these things, it's like, come on, Disney, just be fair. I mean, I don't know, Den. Do you think I'm wrong with that?
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. Just from a math perspective, it just, you know, it's crazy. You know, it's not an actual cost. It's not right. But, you know, you want to point these things out, and you do, and there's nothing wrong with that. And like you always say, you love Disney, and it's not that you want to be mean to them or talk bad about them, but, you know, somebody got to point it out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be this way. I don't. I mean, but you can tell how much I love it because I read every damn thing that comes across my my page or Twitter account. Or I made a mistake. The Crispy Jumbo Lump Crab Cakes, I've looked it up, at Brown Derby are $16.
Oh, okay.
The Cobb Salad's $11. The Crusted Ahi Tuna is $15. So they're and the Beef Cappuccino is $17. So they're taking $3 off.
Right. How is that right?
it's not, because let me see something here while we're doing the math here. It says the Brown Derby is $62 plus tax and gratuity, so you still got to pay for your tax and gratuity. So let me see something here. All the entrees, I'm going to the entrees at the Brown Derby, $49, $18, $43, $38, $37, $32, $37, $46. So there are all the entrees then. The most expensive thing is the charred filet of beef, which is $49. So you get that and a dessert, $49, and a non-alcoholic beverage. So what's a glass of soda cost? 2 cents?
Yeah, probably, if that.
And then their desserts, where are their desserts at? Desserts are $11 basically. So you're at $60. Mm-hmm. And then the soda is $2, so $62. So they're making, and that's if you got to break even, you got to get the most expensive thing.
Right, right. That's the $50 entree, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, if you go and get the vegetable pho at $29, you're losing money.
Yep.
And the salmon's only $37, so you're $48. And I know you get preferred seating, but like, what I don't wrap my head around, they're not giving you the seating for. They're doing this because they want more people eating at the restaurants. They're not doing it because they need more people at Fantasmic. And these are the arguments like, and I don't like to use Pat. I'm just saying Pat because me and him like to picker back and forth about all this stuff with the park closing, blah, blah, blah. But that's how people will say, when you're getting the seating at Fantasmic. No, you're not. Fantasmic would fill up if you went to dinner. They could give a crap less about Fantasmic. They want people in these restaurants.
Yep. Yeah, because you're spending additional money. The Fantasmic, you've already paid your park ticket, so that money's already in the bank for Disney. They're looking for you to drop, you know, another $50 or whatever at dinner or somewhere else. You know, they want to make more money, so you're absolutely right.
And the thing is, besides that, Dan, if people didn't do the dinner, the reason you're doing the dinner is because you don't want to wait in line. So you're basically paying extra so you don't have to wait in line. And you say you got to eat anyway, which me and Brenda usually do. But the point of it is only a deal because you're getting, if you want to save time. It's basically you're paying to save time. But by them knocking the appetizers off, at first it started out where they started this when things weren't great. So they were trying to figure out another way to get more people in these restaurants. Because this is when the studios would, this all started at the studios from what I can remember, when everything started to close down.
Right, right.
And if everybody remembers, Fantasmic went to the point where it was only playing a couple nights a week.
Yeah, it was two or three nights a week for a while there.
Exactly. So they started this to draw people into the parks, and they gave you this deal. Now that the parks are full again and everything's going great, they're taking away the deal, taking away the appetizers, and you're basically losing money. I mean, at this point, I'd rather wait in line.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see this whole thing go away in a couple of years once, you know, Toy Story Land and Star Wars Land all open up. To your point, they won't need to draw people in. You probably have a hard time getting an ADR at any restaurant in the studios because people are going to want to spend all day there and see the Galactic Spectacular at night and all that stuff. So they won't need to have these incentive programs. No. I agree.
And I'm not, and again, I'm just speaking, I'm not mad about it because it don't matter to me. Me and Brenda are going to eat, we're going to eat anyway. But I just find it funny that the deduction is $3. I'll give a written formal apology if anybody out there, any of our listeners can find any appetizer on a sit down restaurant in Walt Disney World that's $3.
You will not. I'll save you the trouble. You ain't going to find one.
So you actually agree with me on this one, Dan, a little bit, right?
I do. It's not right, but,
it
this
is what it
they
is.
Do.
Yep, exactly. And we just got to report it. It doesn't always mean I'm mad about it either. I ain't going to lose any sleep over this, but we got to I report the stuff I see, and I got to bring it to attention. I don't know, if you want singing and rainbows and everybody happy all the time, WDW Radio is the place to be.
There you go.
And we love Lou. Me and him, see, we share the same birthday, so he's Mr. Positive, so I have to at least weigh us out a little bit. Give a little bit of the other side.
The yin and yang.
Yeah, we got to give a little other side of the story. What's up next, Dan?
Yeah, Magic Kingdom to honor the U.S. Army's 82nd Airborne Unit. The 82nd Airborne 16-member Chorus will perform in Liberty Square at 1:45, and the division's brass quintet will perform a melody of patriotic music during a 15-minute concert in Town Square at 4 p.m. A special flag retreat ceremony will take place at 5 p.m. in Town Square. Founded during World War I, the 82nd Airborne Division of the U.S. Army is in Orlando for a convention to commemorate their centennial year in August 2017. And that's pretty nice. They do a lot of these things with the military and flag retreat and stuff like that. I got to give Disney credit for that. They seem to do a good job reaching out to these different groups and, folks that are down there celebrating, like in this case, the centennial and, giving them some kudos and, letting them do maybe the flag retreat or recognizing them in some other way, for a day or for a short period of time down there. It's pretty cool. I've seen several of these groups over the years when I've been down there.
Yeah, I love the fact that they honor our military, and Walt was always big into that with the war bonds and all that ever since back in the day. So I'm glad that tradition continues to carry on. The one thing I do wish is, I wish for people like you and John and anybody who had served would still continue to get their discount. I don't like the idea. I mean, and this ain't, believe me, this isn't me, it's just me wanting more for our military because I don't think they get the credit they deserve. I think that if you served and you were honorably discharged and you did your time and you honored your 4 years or whatever you enlisted for, you should always be considered, you should always be honored, in my opinion. That's just me. Because you did something we didn't do.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they have the shades of green down there, and,
you should always be able to go there, Dan, because you served.
Yeah, or at least be given the opportunity after all the active people. If they don't use the rooms, they should at least offer them up. That I agree with. My son-in-law, as you know, he was in the Army, and, they stayed there once when he was still he was in the reserves at that point, but he's since gotten out, and now he doesn't qualify because he's not, active duty.
No, and I just think that, and this is to me, I honestly, in my opinion, I don't think we do nearly enough for our military.
Oh, no. That's for sure. This country, it's hypocritical, They can, people lay their life on the line or potentially lay their life on the line, and then they come back and, sometimes these people struggle or can't get work or can't do certain things. And, it irritates me that the politicians all talk a good game. Oh, our veterans this and our veterans that. But, year after year go by and nothing ever changes for the most part.
Well, the point is, and I could be speaking out of turn because I do that from time to time off the cuff, as I like to joke about. But the point is, if you serve as a governor for a term or two terms, whatever it is, you have health care for life.
Yep.
But somebody, a poor 18 or 20 year old kid goes to Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever, and serves 4 years. He comes home, he gets nothing.
Right.
How's that fair? I mean, I think his term was a little harder than yours, Senator.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. If you serve in our military and get honorably dished, like you run your term out, you should get an insurance card, and you should be able to walk into the darn hospital and get treated anytime you want for the rest of your life. Because the reason those hospitals are there, the ballparks, the football fields, so stand up, Colin, all these things are there is because they are keeping us free, and they should be taken care of. These doctors wouldn't be out of practice medicine if it wasn't for people protecting us.
Right.
That's my whole point. They should be treated the best, and they're treated the worst, in my opinion, in most cases, for what they give. It don't equal out for what they give to what they get.
No, that is true. I mean, it would be a huge expense, but I mean, the government wastes money on things a lot worse than that. So they could certainly do something. Yep.
Yeah. Well, the point is, there's way too much. It could be taken care of. There's a lot of, you know, we spend billions of dollars on things we have no idea we're spending on it. And I'm not trying to get political here. The point of it is I just think our soldiers should be more taken care of. They should be honored more. They're doing the best. They're doing something that most people can't do.
Yep. And they allow everyone else to keep on doing what they're doing freely.
The reason we're talking about Disney here now and not hiding somewhere is because we're being protected. So God bless our soldiers. And I'm so glad that Disney does what they do for them.
Yep, absolutely. Let's see, next story here. Star Wars Secrets of the Empire experience coming to Disney Springs this fall. Disney Springs will debut a new hyper-reality experience this fall, Star Wars Secret of the Empire. Star Wars Secrets of the Empire will plunge guests directly into the iconic Star Wars galaxy. They will move freely throughout the untethered social and multi-sensory Star Wars Secrets of the Empire experience in a way that allows them to interact and engage with friends, family, and Star Wars characters. This groundbreaking experience will open to the public at two new Void Experience Centers at Downtown Disney at Disneyland Resort and Disney Springs at Walt Disney World Resort beginning this holiday season.
What does a Void stand for? Video in demand or something like that?
Yeah, hopefully they explain it further in the article.
Here we go.
At the Void, we combine the magic of illusion, advanced technology, and virtual reality to create fully immersive social experiences that take guests to new worlds, said Curtis Hickman, co-founder and chief creative officer at The Void. A truly transformative experience is so much more than what you see with your eyes. It's what you hear, feel, touch, and even smell. Through the power of The Void, guests who step into Star Wars Secrets of the Empire won't just see this world, they'll know they are part of this amazing story. Vicky Dobbs-Beck, executive in charge of ILMX Lab, said, at ILMX Lab, we want people to step inside the worlds of our stories. Through our collaboration with The Void, we can make this happen as guests become active participants in an unfolding Star Wars adventure. By combining Lucasfilm's storytelling expertise with cutting-edge imagery and immersive sound from the team at Skywalker Sound, while invoking all the senses, we hope to truly transport all those who experience Star Wars Secrets of the Empire to a galaxy far, far away. Star Wars Secrets of the Empire marks an important milestone in the continued expansion of The Void, which also joined the 2017 Disney Power of the Void. Guests can now experience the magic of Star Wars firsthand. And then they have a video here that shows this void. The new experience will use space from Once Upon a Toy in the marketplace, with most of the merchandise from that area relocated to the new Star Wars trading post. Yeah, so I'm not sure, Doug, what this void thing is, to be honest with you, but some sort of technology, obviously.
I kind of think, I mean, the way I'm looking at it is it, I don't know, I think it'll give you some of the special effects of like when the characters appear and disappear in the movie or whatever. I don't know. I'm interested in seeing it. Sounds very interesting. I just didn't get it. What's the charge for this?
Yeah, it didn't say. I don't know if it's, you know, dare me say free? I mean, they didn't mention it. Yeah, I get. Yeah, that's very silly on my part.
Yeah. That might have been the funniest thing you said in 4 years on this show, Dan.
Yep, you're probably right, but we shall see. I'm interesting, though, in that I didn't anticipate this. I mean,
no.
This kind of came out of nowhere that this was being added to the Disney Springs, so that's a good thing. I agree.
Oh, absolutely. I'm happy for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching the video here. It looks like you go through a maze of rooms and stuff like that. I mean, it's like virtual reality, like there's screens playing, and I don't know. It looks like it's going to be a pretty cool experience. You carry guns with you.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of like a laser tag. I don't know. It's pretty immersive, and it looks like there's also, from what I'm looking at, there's a simulator like that used to be at Sum of All Fears.
Right, like the roller coaster.
Yeah.
Simulators. Yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like it's going to be pretty immersive. You put the guy has the goggles, the hat on with the glasses, and it looks like you're immersed into the world. So,
well, we will check this out. It should be open when you're down there this holiday season.
Yeah, hopefully you too. Maybe I can get John in and we can all play together.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like. You go in as a team on some of these, and I'm just watching the video and giving you what I see, but it looks really cool.
Yeah,
it really does. It looks like it's a whole. Like there's three or four different phases where you're carrying these like swords, a gun, then you're in the simulator, and I'll tell you what, Dan, if it's free, I might not make it home. I'll be in utter shock.
Yeah, it's not very likely, but we'll keep on this story and see what happens. But
you better
usually
keep
when
your
there's
fingers...
a cost, though, they usually lay it right out there, and they didn't. So that's
I think they don't want to scare the heck out of you.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, this might make the amphibious boat seem cheap, in my opinion.
Right, right. let's see. Continuing with Star Wars stuff. Star Wars Trading Post now open in the marketplace at Disney Springs. Disney Springs has a new Star Wars merchandise location in the marketplace. Star Wars Trading Post has taken over the former Fun Finds shop just across from Earl of Sandwich. Along with clothing and gifts, the store also offers to a build-your-own droid and build-your-own lightsaber area. Check out the gallery for more. There's pictures here. But, this is...
I wonder if the build-your-own lightsaber's free, then.
Yeah, right. But, this is, I'm going to guess this is going to be extremely popular. I mean, I know they had the build-your-own RC car thing there up the road, or they still do. I'm not sure. But then things are always popular. I know they had the build-your-own Mr. Potato Heads and the Toys Story store there. I don't know. Kids kind of like that stuff, and adults for that matter. But with all the Star Wars stuff, I mean, lightsabers and droids, you got to figure they're going to be pretty popular.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go in the store to just check it out. I'm going to miss the old store more because I like going in there and see what, finding different things, like oddball things that you don't see throughout the parks. Because we're more into Disney than we are Star Wars.
Right.
But I know, but I understand why they're doing it. I mean, the kids are going to love it. There's a gazillion Star Wars fans out there. I wouldn't be surprised if John's over there building a lightsaber on his break.
Yeah, I was just going to say, now when you go down to the marketplace, all you're going to hear is vroom, vroom, vroom. That's going to be the sound you're going to hear whenever you're down there now with all the kids playing with their lightsabers.
Yeah, or I could see us having one too many at the paddlefish and then heading over there and making a couple lightsabers and having a fight out in the middle of the springs.
Yeah, gotta have fun.
Absolutely, it's all good. I like new things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all good. And like I said, not my cup of tea, but I'll go in there, I'll check it out, and I'm glad that it's there.
Yeah, I'll miss the other place, but I get why they're doing it. It's not like the writer stop being taken away. Now the writer stop has alcohol. I'm not too sad about that either. Just kidding.
Right.
I am sad about it, but you know what I'm saying. It kind of softens the blow a little bit.
Yep. Let's see here. American Idol to kick off open auditions at Disney Springs. American Idol will debut on its new home at ABC in 2018, and open auditions will begin at the Walt Disney World Resort. The Idol Bus will be at Disney Springs on August 17th, giving you a chance to audition with American Idol producers. Celebrity judges will not be on site. Early arrival is encouraged. Parking will be available as early as 4 a.m., but not before. Registration will begin at 6 a.m., with auditions starting at 8 a.m. Early arrival is encouraged as registration will close at 12 p.m. or sooner due to capacity. No overnight camping will be allowed. The auditions will take place outdoors. Parking will be available at the surface parking lot on the west side of Disney Springs near House of Blues and Cirque du Soleil. All singers must be at least 15 years old to audition. Pre-registration is encouraged. To pre-register for additional details, full eligibility requirements, submission forms, and terms and conditions, visit AmericanIdol.com. Those auditioning can bring one guest to accompany them, and the guest must be over 5 years old.
Oh, my God. I might have to go down and audition then.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they're bringing this show back, and it's going to be on ABC, and I guess that's a good thing. It was pretty popular back in the day, right?
Yeah. I could go down. You think I could sing, "You Got a Friend in Me"? I'm ready, buddy.
You could?
I'm ready, buddy. Because they didn't say they used to have where it cut off at the age of 30. All they're saying here is 15 years old to audition, so I'm still in. I might have a chance to become a star then.
There you go. Till that big hook comes out and just yanks you right off that stage.
Yes, big old hook. Now, I used to be, me, Brenda, Mom, we'd all watch it together. I was a big American Idol fan, I have to admit. You know, I remember watching Carrie Underwood, and she's still one of my favorite singers. And what's his face, the other one I really liked. That we talked about him a couple times, too, was pretty good. Danny Gokey has performed at Epcot, and they've had quite a few Daughtry I enjoyed, but the point of it is the show, from what I understood, kind of went off the air. Do you remember the show Frasier too?
Oh yeah, yep.
Frasier, if you listen to Kelsey Grammer from the story I read, he would have never quit that show. But what happened was, is when you're on TV for so long with the unions, their pay scale has to keep going up. And the show was still making money, but they had to start paying the actors more and more and more. And they couldn't keep the show going because of how much talent cost. And that was the same problem with Idol. They had Jennifer Lopez and Keith Urban, all these people making $20-some million a year. And the show was making money, but because they had to pay all them, they decided, and Ryan, and the show ended up costing more than what they could possibly make off just because of the talent. It had nothing to do with the show because the show is basically easy to run. You send a bunch of kids for free up on stage and let them sing.
Right, at the end there, they had Steven Tyler in this one and that one. And, yeah, you're right. They're not working for, you know, 10 grand an episode, I'm sure.
No, they were the show ended up being bled dry. But now they're rebooting it. And it's a no-brainer because it doesn't cost much to make. Like you're seeing, you send a tour bus to Disney. And you know how much you're going to make at the Springs off of this?
Oh, it'll be huge. And it could have a resurgence. I mean, you know, the kid, the generation that's watching it today. And you're right, because, you know, people kind of enjoy that type stuff. And, you know, as you pointed out, there was a handful of stars that were made or discovered as a part of this show. So, you know, for every one of them that's kind of found or the diamond in the rough, that gives it even more run. So, I watch it for a few years, too, with my kids. We all, the whole family used to watch it. We, you know, drifted away from it over the years, but we watch it for 2-3 years faithfully.
Yeah, me and Brenda loved it. We'd watch it every week. I admit to it. The guys at work pick on me for it, but oh well. The internet picks so long. But no, like Scotty McCreery, he's another one, the big country star. And it's weird, like American Idol produced a ton of stars, right? Mm-hmm. And The Voice is popular on NBC, but not one person has come out of there that I know anything about.
Right. Yeah, it is kind of weird that way. I don't know why that is, but you're absolutely right.
It's weird. They say The Voice has better ratings. They're trying to say it's a better show, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know one star that's come from that. I can name Kelly Clarkson. I can name 20 that's come from Idol.
Yep.
And we watch both, but neither one has done. I can't believe that nobody's come out of The Voice yet. Anybody that I can remember. I mean, that one girl went on Blake Shelton's tour with him, but the only reason you knew who she was is because he took her on tour with him.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
But the winners I've known nothing about. But I'm excited about it. And I understand, like, my wife and them go, well, why did they take the idol out of the studios? I said, because it wasn't that the show wasn't good, because I seen it. I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was a nice way to sit back, relax for an hour. You know what I'm saying, Den? Did you ever see it?
Oh, yeah, many times.
It was a good time, but they couldn't find people to do it.
Right. That was the thing. I remember cast members being out there almost begging guests to come in and audition some days because they didn't have enough, decent singers that could at least, sing somewhat so that you could entertain the guest in the attraction.
From what I heard from the stories I got was that they were actually asking their cast members to go when they're off time to go sing.
Yes, that I heard that, and I believe that to be true, that they had a handful of cast members available or on standby so that if the regular guest or potential singers didn't show up or they just didn't have enough people that wanted to do it, that they would infill them with cast members, and they kind of played that role as a contestant on the show.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have two people up there.
Right.
So that was the problem. They couldn't. And because they couldn't fill the shows, and that's a major building. You can't have that building. It's kind of like we talked about with and you're going to tell the story about Mission Space reopening. But that was the same point with that. You need these buildings, those big buildings like that. You need something like that to be a people eater.
Yeah, that's true. And the few times that I did see American Idol, I got to say that, it was probably half full or something like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
Brenda had a whole row to herself.
Yeah. But, I mean, the studio was nice. It was, from what I could tell, was the way it would actually be if it was a real studio. It was in the folks that they had playing the roles of Simon and all them people did a good job.
Absolutely. It was funny as heck.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Me and Brenda loved it. We were sad that Mom wasn't on that trip with us to see it. But
yeah.
She loved that show.
So she would have really connected with the attraction.
Absolutely. And because it's like the other one I really miss. I loved Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, yeah. I love that show.
Yeah. So, I mean, pretty soon, Dan, we're going to have to list. We're going to have to do a show of list all the rides that have closed in our time. Not the Horizons or like John misses 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and – not
right.
them ones, but the ones that closed since we started going in 1997. We should do a show on the ones that we missed the most in order.
Oh yeah, and that list is getting longer and longer. I mean, Sounds Dangerously. With
great
one.
Movie rides closing in 2 weeks or a couple days. You
don't
understand what I'm saying?
Don't remind me.
Exactly, but that's my point. There's so many now with all the changes. The back lot, the lights, motor action. I mean, things going on over, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. There's a ton of things that have closed now, Maelstrom, in our lifetime. So
yep.
I say we do a list, maybe one of these next couple Tuesdays, we're going to do a show on the rides we missed the most, put them in order.
Yeah, because there's many, many more that we haven't even touched on, so that'd be a great show.
Yeah, we'll tell what we miss about it. I miss Living with the Land. Oh, it's still there. Just kidding, Pat and Bob.
Gotta get it in.
Just kidding,
in.
Guys. And go to the Joy of Tea. We got to get that price to go up.
Yep.
Where do you see the video I shoot down there?
Let's see here. Yak and Yeti Local Foods now offers breakfast at Dizzy's Animal Kingdom, which we told you guys about last week. We were on this ahead of time. But anyways, Yak and Yeti Local Foods now serves breakfast at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Menu items include breakfast tacos at $9.99, sausage and egg English muffin at $9.99, and a bacon and egg sandwich at $9.99. You can see the Yak and Yeti Local Foods breakfast menu. Breakfast is served daily from 9 a.m. From 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Wow, that's a short window.
Yeah, it is.
I wonder what's up with that. Why just an hour and a half?
Well, I guess because they got to switch back over to cooking lunch by 11.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, but you'd think they'd open it up earlier in the morning, but
the park don't open till 9. That part of the park isn't usually open
till
9.
Oh, okay. All right,
just because Pandora's opening earlier, they're not. You follow me?
Right. Yep. Well, so. Hey, anyways, at least it's another option, though. It's better than nothing.
Well, I got the whole menu here, Dan. You want me to read it real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can get a fruit salad, fresh seasonal fruit for $7.99. The bacon, egg, and sandwich is egg, American cheese, candied black pepper bacon, and toasted on a toasted chalada bread for $9.99. Egg white English muffin, same thing, for $8.99. Sausage and egg English muffin for $9.99. Why is the sausage? Oh, because they added the sausage. The other one is just an egg white English muffin for $8.99. So the sausage is worth a buck. I agree. Canadian bacon English muffin for $9.99. You can get a breakfast burrito, which is eggs, American cheese, chorizo, peppers, and onions for $9.99. That sounds really good.
It does.
And a breakfast taco, eggs, American cheese, and bacon wrapped in a warm tortilla for $9.99. That sounds good, too. They have side hash browns for $3.99. For children, you can get pancakes and sausage stick for $6.99 or French toast sticks for $6.99. And beverage included orange juice, apple juice, and coffee. So that's a pretty good menu.
I'd go there. All that stuff sounded good. And if I was going to be there at that time, I would definitely go there.
I might eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner there one day.
Yes, and you wouldn't mind it at all.
No, I wouldn't, because there's so many things on that Yak and Yeti menu. You could spend a day there.
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge menu, and we haven't even scratched the surface of it. And you got your favorites, and you want to try some new stuff, too. So you got your work cut out for you.
Oh, man, that salmon I had on my last trip there was so damn good. I gave my godson a bite of it. Then I had to stick the fork out to protect my plate because he wanted more.
Of course, the fried wontons.
Yes, well, that's without saying. I had to divvy them up. I bought an order of them. I had to give him his share so he didn't eat them all.
Ah, you split one. That was smart.
He has like that. I had to teach him. The kid is 6'3" and weighs about 150 pounds. He's a beanpole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he can eat like he's 7'5", 400 pounds. The kid has a never-ending trap door. And I mean, when we went out to Marimoto Asia, I mean, we got this spicy tuna.
Yeah.
And I got like multiple three appetizers we got. I look over, there's like six or eight spicy tunas. Seven of them's gone. I'm like, dude, really? I mean, the kid can eat. And he's looking at me with the mouth chewing.
Right.
I'm like, you knucklehead, you. So I had to straighten him out. That never happened again. It was great, though, because as I shared, because I got the wings and we got a couple things. And my brother-in-law couldn't eat that because it is diverticulitis. He was ready to eat one, and it has the little seeds on the tuna.
Right.
So I gave him a couple extra chicken wings. I figured I'd have another one of the tunas. I look over, it's gone. They're gone. But it was great because we came home from the trip, and after I got in, I was nice to him, but I let in on, you know, yes, does anybody want more first? You don't just eat all, you know, I mean, he was excited.
Right.
It was fun, but I'm like his dad, too. I got to straighten him out. Yep. So it was wonderful. We went out, we came home, we did our Christmas dinner at the Bonefish, and he goes, does anybody want any more of these firecracker shrimp? No, Jim, you can have them. That's all you got to do, because I would have gave it to him anyway.
Yep.
But it was fun.
You taught him a life lesson. That's all.
Yeah, he's my boy. I love him. You know. But you got to straighten him out here and there.
Absolutely. Let's see what we got next here. Aerial views of Grand Avenue construction at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Disney announced last week that part of the old Streets of America will live on as Grand Avenue. And today they're showing a look at the new area from the air. We saw some of these pictures last week. It's amazing how big the construction, the footprint is, rather, of the construction. Most of the Grand Avenue will be facades as it was back in the Street of America days, but the old Writer's Stop will become the Baseline Tap House, representing the present-day downtown Los Angeles. The new Grand Avenue area will showcase vintage office buildings and warehouses representing the different vibrant districts and cultures of the city. Opening fall 2017, the Grand Avenue will also serve as a buffer between the rest of the park and the upcoming Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Yeah, this is pretty cool. Now it's, you know, we weren't sure exactly where this thing was going to be, but it's actually on the footprint of the old Writer's Stop. So, interesting.
Yeah, and wrapping around and down. So I think there's going to be another offering, another restaurant. The rest is going to be facade. But I think they got to keep that there so it doesn't – that blocks the illusion going into Star Wars land. It's kind of like the curtain.
Exactly. They want a hard stop there that, you know, you'll know. Yeah, they just don't want any spillage, if you will, or seeping into the other land. They just want a hard stop there, if you will.
Yeah, this is like the curtain that blocks. You walk down that alleyway, and then it opens up into Star Wars land. It's gonna make a perfect transition.
Yep, absolutely.
But I'm excited. I'm more excited about this than I am Star Wars land to see what's going on back there on our next trip.
Absolutely.
I know your butt will be up and down that street.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to spending some time in the studios. There's a lot of exciting stuff going over there, and it's been many years since I've said that, so I totally agree with you there.
Yeah, and I'll be doing some Midway Mania and then going over and having some drinks.
There you go. What do we got here? Mobile order debuts at Epcot Quick Service Restaurants. You'll be thrilled with this. Mobile order is now available at the Electric Umbrella at Epcot's Future World.
And my favorite restaurant.
Yeah, your favorite. Yeah, you think you can get in there?
No, I'm talking about the other one. You're going to read another one, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so well, I'm not going to read this. We've read this 7 times already, well, explaining how mobile order works.
Well, the other restaurant that's available, too, is the Liberty Inn. It's the Electric Umbrella and the Liberty Inn.
Oh, okay.
Is part of that article. So that was the point I was making. They got it at the Liberty Inn now, at the American Adventure. You can do your mobile ordering. I don't know. I just don't get still why they can't give your DVC or whatchamacallit pass. I mean a discount.
Right. I don't know either, but
it makes no sense to me. I did see him and his wife and his buddy from the Diz Unplugged. They do the YouTube channel now. They do not now, they've been doing it for a while, but they do videos and they eat at that Santui Cantina at the Pandora.
Yep.
And they did the mobile ordering. Which I have to admit, it looks good. I mean, convenient. Like, you post it when you want it, and then you go in and it's waiting for you. But the point of it is it's still no interact. It's just waiting there. It's hard to explain. I get that you can order, and then what you do is you order, you can keep it on your phone, and then when you're ready, you hit send.
Yeah.
But the point is, I don't know. I still want to interact with a cast member. I just feel like I'm hurting somebody by doing it. Like, I'm taking a job.
Well, you can hold out for another year or so, and eventually you won't have the choice. But, I mean, I agree. If that's how you feel, you should do that.
You always have the choice, then. There's no way they're going to take away total ordering. You can't. There's too many people that don't use phones. And, I mean, and how are you going to get it to all your foreign and guests coming from overseas?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, there's always going to be a way to walk up to a window.
Yep.
You know, I mean, if that was the case, all of our restaurants, like, you can order your Starbucks in advance, can't you, Dan?
I think so, but I don't pay any attention to that stuff. I just do it old school.
Yeah, exactly. But the point is, they have to keep – they're going to have to keep cast members, just not as many.
Yep, I agree.
But I need every discount I could possibly get if I'm going to have to eat at the Liberty Inn. That's all I'm saying.
let's see.
I mean, that's the only place on property I ate free and still felt like I was robbed.
Yeah,
it's true. We had free dining. I had a cheeseburger there that I wanted money back, and I got it on the free dining.
Worst burger on property.
It was cold, dude. I mean, it was freezing cold, and the fries were freezing cold. It was like eating cardboard.
Yeah, that kills you when you gotta peel money out of your wallet or whatever and pay for something that's not prepared properly. That's not good.
It was sad. The only thing was good was the chocolate cake, because that was made somewhere else.
Yep, exactly. Let's see. Operating hours reduced for a Pirate's Adventure Treasures of the Seven Seas. The operating hours for a Pirate's Adventure Treasures of the Seven Seas at the Magic Kingdom have been significantly reduced. Now operating hours at 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. daily, down from the usual park open of near park close. In a Pirate's Adventure, Treasures of the Seven Seas, guests use a pirate map and a magic talisman to help them complete 5 different pirate raids throughout Adventureland. The goal is to help locate different treasures of the Seven Seas and fight off pirate enemies like the Royal Navy and Captain Barbossa, among others. If guests help Captain Jack succeed in all the missions, they'll be welcomed as part of the new crew. If not, they'll face the wrath of the cruel sea alone. I wasn't even aware of what this is or was, were you?
I knew what it was. We read this article when it came out. I know it was there. You know why it's closing at 6 o'clock then?
Probably because of parties.
Oh, yeah, it's closing because of all the Halloween and Christmas parties at 6 o'clock.
Yep.
So another thing taken away from you. That's all good. Yay for Disney. It's the right thing to do. Take it all away. I can't wait till next year when they're closing in at 4.
Or it'll just be gone completely.
Well, just shut the park down on the days that they're having a party and charge, and still keep it on the people's list that paid for it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Video, close up at Slinky Dog Dash Coaster with Walt Disney Imagineers. Celebrating the final piece of track installation for the Slinky Dog Dash Coaster, Walt Disney Imagineering has shared a new video giving us an up-close look at the new coaster. Slinky Dog Dash will open with Toy Story Land in the summer of 2018 at Disney Hollywood Studios. So I know you've watched this video.
Absolutely. I watched them put the last piece of track in, and I cannot wait to get on this. I mean, I'm so excited about Slinky Dog. You didn't see that at all? I watched the video also on Twitter. They had one.
Yeah, no, I tend, Doug, not to watch those. Just, I don't know. I just rather see it, when I get there.
See, I watch them then also because of the show. They have information. You have to know a little bit what's going on. We're not lucky enough, like John, to be there every other weekend.
This is true.
So,
or every weekend.
Yeah, now every weekend that our buddies working at the conservation station now.
Yep.
He's the captain, or what is it? The chief of the Wildlife Express, the engineer.
Engineer.
Yes, engineer. And he also works as the what's the other one called? He's two. He's the engineer, and then he's also the
conductor.
Conductor. Yes, he does both.
Yeah. So. He's pretty versatile.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I'm shocked, actually. They let him drive that train. They listened to him on the pub. I don't think they'd allow it, but...
We better hope that don't happen.
No, I can't wait to ride the train with John on it. It'll be a lot of fun.
It will.
No, but they showed that. It's amazing, Dennis. I mean, if you watch his video, it'll give nothing. It don't give a lot away of the ride. It just shows you the amount of work and effort that it takes to build something like this. It's like amazing that how all these parts come together.
It must be.
The way it's stretched out throughout the park and the way it's designed, where they dropped this last piece in, and it lines up perfectly. Now, I get a piece of furniture from IKEA or whatever like that. It never lines up.
Right.
I mean, how many TV stands have you put together that the lines for where the screws and the holes are off center and stuff like that?
Yep.
And then I'm watching this put this last piece in, and it dropped in just like butter. I mean, it like all the like because there's like four different areas where a set of five bolts go, and every single hole is like absolutely perfect.
Yeah, you ever watch one of those things like on Discovery, like when they build a bridge or something like that and they put the sections together? And that always amazed me how, these things weigh hundreds of thousands of tons and they're moving it with, jacks and pneumatics and it lines right up. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Like when you watch the Disney Cruise Line come together, they put the two halls together.
Yeah.
Really? I can't, like I said, I can't get a piece of furniture that lines up when I'm building it. Me and Brenda built this desk upstairs, and it was real close to going out the window.
Uh-oh.
It was pre-made, and half the stuff was offline, messed up. And I kept telling her, I said, I'll go buy some wood, and I could build a desk out in the shop faster than we could put this piece of garbage together.
Yeah.
Because I'm in control of it. You know what I'm saying? I'll cut all the pieces, shoot them together with the gun, bang, 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 I'm done. Like, I built my desk downstairs in my office.
Right.
The upstairs, she didn't want me going through the trouble, and she was doing it because she felt bad for me. And then she realized, she goes, yeah, you built that desk downstairs. It's twice as nice in half the time.
We've all gotten those, like you're saying, at IKEA or something like that, and you get the package of nuts and bolts is like the size of your head, and there's a million washers and screws and lock nuts and Oh, it's just horrible. I can't stand those things.
And it's all written in English, the directions, but you would think it's in some other language that you never heard. Because it's like the way they word it, and then the diagrams, the pictures, they might as well be drawn by kindergartens. They would do a better job.
Yep. It's slot A into subsection tab B.
Yeah.
And fold this over and crank, you know, oh, it's just horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I end up throwing them away and doing it, you know. But anyway, I digress. What's next, buddy?
Yeah, Disney's minivan service launches on Lyft. Where do we go? You can now order one of Disney's minivans using the popular Lyft app. Playing a part in a family's experience is the most magic. At the most magical place on Earth is a dream come true, Lyft president John Zimmer said. Minivan service will be priced at $20 per trip per vehicle, with testing currently underway at Disney's Boardwalk and Yacht Club resorts between 6:30 a.m. and 12:30 a.m. Guests staying at Disney's Boardwalk Resort and Disney's Yacht and Beach Club resorts can learn more by visiting the Bell Services desk. Later, the service will expand to more locations throughout Walt Disney World, unlike Disney's Magical Express service, which is operated by a third party, Mears. Minivan drivers are actually Disney cast members. Under the wrap, minivans are 2017 Chevrolet Traverse Premier midsize SUV, which offers three rows of seating. The second row features captain's chairs with two full-size seats, and the back row can seat three, giving a guest capacity of six. Disney has also equipped its fleet of minivans with two Graco car seats. So, yeah, this is pretty much, we heard about this a month or so ago.
Nah, I mean, like I said, I don't see me using it a lot, but maybe here or there. I mean, might try it just to try it.
Yeah, that's just the novelty of it, I think, for myself. I will do it just to say I did it, but I don't see me doing very many of these at $20 a pop.
Nah. Not me either. It'd be too. Like I said, going back and forth to the Springs would be a $40 trip. That's a meal.
It is. Maybe two.
But did you also see? Did you see that the Siemens left abruptly from over at Spaceship Earth? Did you hear that?
I did hear something about them pulling out of sponsorship. What was that all about?
Oh, they weren't supposed to. The story is Siemens VIP Center, formerly Base 21, behind Spaceship Earth, was abruptly abandoned this week on August 2nd. They ran on my birthday this week when Siemens left the space months ahead of the end of their deal with the Disney parks. Even though the contract is set to expire on September 30th, Siemens staff have left the space forever on Monday, July 31st, 2017. Apparently, the relationship between the two companies soured rapidly after Disney turned down a new monorail fleet for Walt Disney World that Siemens offered in lieu of compensation for a new sponsorship deal. I mean, that's a shame, though, that we didn't get the new monorails.
Yeah, I did never heard about that. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, Carmen and them, our friends over at Peas and Carrots, the Adventures of Peas and Carrots, they sent us a tweet, sending to me about it. It's a shame we didn't get this fixed, like about the monorails. They sent me the article.
Okay.
They sent us the article, not just me. But, no, I'm shocked that they left. In sign of another sponsor is not yet lined up and may not be at this point, Disney executives toured the space with Siemens staff ahead of their departure to decide what will stay or what will go. Siemens was supposed to return the lounge to its original form upon departure, but Disney chose to keep it as it is for now. Regardless of what stays or what doesn't, Disney is going to be taking over the entire corporate lounge and meeting space immediately. Now, question is, will Disney use the space for internal meetings and such, or will it begin to hold special events in the building like dessert parties and such, also making the lounge and the boardroom bookable for guests looking to hold special events in the park? Only time will tell, but the ability to enter the lounge for a regular park guest is likely something people would happily pay for. Sadly, it seems as it's too late for this to make it into speculation. There was going to be called the new Club 33 in there, but that's already being built above the American Adventure.
Ah, okay.
I don't know if you knew that. The American Adventure is going to be the new Club 33 in Epcot.
Nice.
That second floor where you used to have the Chase card area.
Yep.
I think that's becoming the that's going to, so was I. That's coming becoming the new Club 33.
Is it actually going to be called that or just something similar?
From right now, that's what it's supposed to be called, but who knows? Things change so fast. I mean, look, Siemens ran out the back door.
They ran out the front door.
yeah, basically, you're right.
Yeah, that's, it'll be interesting to see who sponsors it, or like they said, if somebody sponsors it. Disney's always looking to, make money, so I'm sure they'll put it out there for sponsorship.
Well, hey, it's weird. You might not be, Den, because they seem to be not wanting anybody but what they own already.
True.
Who knows? I mean, the sad part is Siemens was also connected to our beloved Illuminations.
Yeah, and the lighting and all of the controls and all that stuff. So you're right. They had a big part in that. Remember when Illuminations was over, Siemens would, be displayed on Spaceship Earth and all that. You could see it from across the water. And
it's sad. I just told that guy who worked with me up in Princeton that he needs to get a hold of the company so he can get discounts for Disney from Siemens, because he's a Siemens worker. He never knew that. And he was getting ready to take his kids down. He was talking to me. I said, well, you work for Siemens. Don't you get any discounts or anything? He goes, I never even knew we had stuff down there. I said, well, right. You should check into it. Now the poor guy checks into it, and they're leaving.
He'll be arrested if he asks about Siemens down there. Now, you better tell him, don't mention you're from Siemens.
Yeah, no. Something don't sound right. I mean, something sounds like there was a major disagreement there.
Yeah. Yeah, because it almost sounds like, it's like the lease is over and, like we're not going to give you your security deposit back unless you restore the room to the way it was when you took it over. And, they said, nah, we're not interested in that. We're just leaving. And they're leaving way earlier than they need to, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's something going on. Something broke quick. But, again, I just think this is Disney's purging everything that is not Disney. I mean, the rumors are, we heard the rumors about the Tower of Terror is going to go, taking away Twilight Zone.
Yep, it's just going to be a spooky, hotel, but it won't be any reference to the Twilight Tower or any of Rod Serling's likeness or any of that stuff.
And that's why we lost a great movie ride, and the way, it don't seem like there's going to be, the new show is going to be sponsored by Disney, is the way it looks.
Yeah. See, I don't really have a problem with that. No. I like the fact they're doing that, and I've said for years. I mean, as good as the third, some of the.
Well, look at you. You don't like Winnie the Pooh.
That's right. That's right. But I mean, even some of the third party restaurant, Landry's and some of the other ones do a good job at some of the restaurants. They really do. But I'm all for Disney operating its own restaurants. I'm all for Disney building its own resorts, and I'd much rather see that than. Third party, and even though some of them are great folks and great companies, and I'm not being critical of them, but all things being equal, I go to Disney because I like Disney, not Landry's or some other company. So as far as I'm concerned, this is a good thing.
Even though Landry's, two of the best restaurants on property now are Paddlefish Boathouse.
Yep.
Plus everybody loves Yak and Yeti, and they have done a phenomenal job, so I can't, complain about anything that they do. I get your point, but on the other hand, Dan, you also got to look at it as, in some ways, Sheraton, Hilton, and all them, the Waldorf Astoria, all the Marriotts, they're the biggest in the world. They have to have some affiliation with the biggest resort destination in the world. So, because you got all these people that pay a lot of money to be part of or corporate work for these companies that Disney be missing out if they didn't have them hotel chains on property.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Some people would only stay there, or they amass points, or they want to use their perks when they go on vacation. Cool. So you're right. They probably wouldn't go to Disney World if they couldn't use them there.
Exactly, because there's people to work. Like, perfect example, our friend over there, Ricky from the Be Our Guest podcast. Her husband runs one of the hotel chains.
Yeah.
They go, Brian, they go all the time because of that. I think that's right. One of the reasons why, for the longest time, she could go so much before everything kicked off with their site and how successful they became in the whole nine yards. But there's a lot of people that have Sheraton rewards for, their businesses.
Yep.
they're flying all over the country, so they get to stay at the Swan and Dolphin for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, a lot of these – the other thing is a lot of these airlines are in bed with a lot of these hotels. So you get your Fire Miles and all that where you could do Hilton and stuff like that where Disney don't offer you anything.
No, no.
You know, you get no frequent flyer miles or anything. Disney's been associated with American Airlines forever. And American Airlines books their own vacations. And I'll tell you what, I book through them because people have American Airlines. They save on the flight. But Disney don't give – Disney gives – there's no major discounts for them. Trust me.
Nope. You're paying pretty much rack rate.
Yes. Yeah, they're not really – I mean, you have to be like a Silver Select Super member to get the discount. And even
right.
that is minimal. But like even like places like the Swan and Dolphin, my hat's off to them. Because they give all kind of discounts to nurses and teachers, and they have all different specials that Disney doesn't have.
Yep. Oh, yeah, you hear about that all the time. Swan and Dolphin are notorious for their discounts, and I know a lot of people that go just for those. I mean, they plan their trips around these times of year when they offer these. So, yeah, you can get some good rates if you're into one of those, if you want to. One of those categories, a teacher or something like that.
Well, me and Brenda, and the reason, like I've said a million times, me being a TA, it isn't feasible for me. Like even our buddy John's learning now with him being a cast member, he gets some really major discounts on rooms for himself.
Right.
So in some ways, you know, he's going to be lucky because he might be able to book a room and build his points back up from his DVC. But I think if John was a cast member the entire time, he'd have never bought DVC because it wouldn't have been worth it to him. The same thing
right.
it is with me with a TA for the – I get discounts and it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a while there where me and Brenda were looking at DVC, and then also I was actually also looking at Sheraton because Sheraton has a timeshare that's nowhere near as expensive what Disney is. My
right.
buddy Bob owns it, and he offered it to us one time. We ended up not taking it because my wife's don't take anything from anybody. She won't allow it. I mean, I'm offered houses down the shore every year because I tell you, I take care of three or four different owners that have multiple properties down the shores, and I've been offered weeks vacations, and my wife don't want anything for nothing. I said, well, because she's worried if we break something. But I said, well, they're going to call me to fix it. Ain't like we're going to break it on purpose. I'll already be there to fix it. Would have broke on them next week.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, if the hot water heater goes, we didn't do it. We took a shower like the next person was going to do, or the faucet
right.
falls off the sink. We didn't do it. We're not animals. We don't break stuff on purpose.
Right.
But she just don't want to take that. Well, Bob offered us his Sheraton points because what he bought his timeshare on his before when he got married,
right.
and the reason was is he was going to Hawaii. And when he went to book Hawaii, he looked into these timeshares, and here he realized for what he was going to spend for his 1-2 week vacation in Hawaii would all paid for his timeshare.
Really?
Yes. The way it worked out, he ended up buying his timeshare for the price that it would have, you know, cost for him to book those 2 weeks.
That's crazy.
So, and then, you know, you got to pay your yearly dues and all that like you guys do. But
mm-hmm.
he figured, what the heck? And he's going to Mexico and here and there. And he told me, he goes, because they weren't going to use, they had extra nights built up. So he
right.
goes to me, he goes, Doug, the Swan and Dolphin's part of my thing. I'll get you rooms there for the week. And Brenda's like, no. She wouldn't take it. And I'm like, Bren, really? So he ended up giving them to his sister or something like that. He offered me first. But the point was, then I looked into it, and it was substantially cheaper than what Disney was.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the Swan and Dolphin. And I was like, to Brenda, I said, maybe this is worth it for us. And then
yeah.
I became the TA, so I never thought about it again. But most people don't think about Sheraton has a timeshare division, and mm-hmm. you could stay at the Swan and Dolphin.
Yeah, another way to get, you know, access to Walt Disney World. And you've stayed at the Swan Dolphin many times, you said, and enjoy it. So if you don't mind that, it's good. You
oh,
can stay there.
I love the Swan and Dolphin. Dennis, if you stayed there, you'd love it too. Swan
yeah.
and Dolphin, it's a beautiful resort. I mean, it's very laid back. It's very nice. I mean, and it's clean. It's not. It holds all the Disney standards. The only difference between the Swan and Dolphin and the other Disney resorts is the cast members there are in Sheraton outfits.
Right.
They're like
right.
your normal hotel kind of uniform.
Garb. Yeah.
Yes. You know, it isn't going to be like Riverside where they're wearing the dresses and, you know, whatever the time period is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only difference. But I would recommend the Swan and Dolphin, especially for military doctors, doctors, nurses, teachers. You guys, you can get discounts there, especially during – everybody forgets, too, that this time of year is the Swan and Dolphin's discount time of year. That's why we've stayed there a lot.
Right. Yeah, because kids down south are either going back to school or they will be this week coming up, I think.
No, but the thing is with the Swan and Dolphin then is they're considered a convention resort. So during the summer is their slow time.
Oh, okay.
Where Disney resorts are all – it's their prime time. The Swan and Dolphin rates are discounted at the summer.
So you can get some real good rates in the summer at Swan Dolphin.
Yeah, every time we've stayed at the Swan and Dolphin has been in July and August.
Okay.
I mean, I've stayed there for $127 a night a few years ago.
Wow.
They were running a discount. It was in the USA Today. Same thing. Yep. I found the same deal for the Animal Kingdom Lodge in the $120 range for 1 week. Mm-hmm. Years ago, the first time we stayed at the Animal Kingdom, that's when things were slow at Disney. Mm-hmm. And they were running specials. And USA Today has a travel section.
Right.
And they posted a deal. If you've seen it in the USA Today, it was only for that code.
Right.
And me and Brenda stayed at the Animal Kingdom Lodge for $120 some dollars a night.
Wow, that's a great rate.
Yeah, and well, that's what ended up happening. The 1 year we stayed at the Swan and Dolphin was my wife, all of a sudden, they shut her lab down for 2 weeks. It was they were doing some cleaning and revamping some things. And 4th of July week is one of their least, because everybody's away. Nobody's getting their teeth, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But anyway, we got warned a couple weeks prior that they were shutting her lab down for 2 weeks. My brother was already down there. So being they shut the lab down, I was on a job and I was reading this article for the sale at the Swan and Dolphin. I said to Brent, look at this. Let's go down and surprise my brother. She goes, yeah, I'm off. Let's go. So we ended up booking a week down there for that rate. It was like we stayed 7 days for $1,000 at the Swan and less than $1,000. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is a great rate. And that must have been a nice, you know, kind of a on spur of the moment trip. Those are always fun.
And the boot was we check in and they give us a junior suite, full kitchen, the whole nine yards, living room. That was the room I told you that every night I watched the Tower of Terror.
Yep.
My view was the Tower of Terror. I mean, it was gorgeous.
Can't beat that.
No, we stayed there like three other times, and the other times were standard rooms. We've been in both the Swan and the Dolphin. They're both really nice. They're beautiful rooms. And, again, they have more of the corporate stuff. They actually get – back then when we stayed there, you got HBO, Showtime, all that in the room.
Yeah, and I know one of them, I think, has a character breakfast. I don't know which one, but I know they have a character breakfast at one of them. So they do have some Disney stuff there. And, of course, we know the Friendship Boats stop there, and they will pick you up and bring you to either Epcot or the studios. So you have that going for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're walking. Well, I mean, I kind of – what I liked about it is you know how sometimes, depending on the room at the boardwalk, it could be noisy?
Yep.
There are certain rooms, and then you also have the lights all the time. I mean, the boardwalk and the Swan and Dolphin could be a little congested. What I liked about it is the reason why I like Riverside. It's more subdued because it sits back behind the two.
Right.
You get to enjoy the whole yacht and beach club and boardwalk area. You're all a part of that, but you're also off the beaten path. It's more quiet and relaxing back in there than at the boardwalk or the yacht and beach club, to me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
You know, that's what I loved about it. I mean, I enjoy it back there. I highly recommend that you guys, you should look into getting deals back there, too.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. Next story here. Additional dining discount for Tables in Wonderland members. Oh, let's see what this is all about. Tables in Wonderland can now take advantage of the recently announced 30% discount for annual pass holders and DVC members at select resort restaurants. An important difference with the Tables in Wonderland discount versus the pass holder discount is that this also applies to alcoholic beverages. There is now a 30% discount, up from 20%, on regular price food and beverages when dining during the dinner meal period before 6:30 p.m. and after 8:30 p.m. at the following locations through, and this is going to run through September 30th. So the restaurants participating in this are Gico, Flying Fish, The Wave, Citrico's, Grand Floridian Cafe, Olivia's over at Old Key West, Boatwright's over at Riverside, The Turf Club Bar and Grill over at Saratoga Springs, Artist Point at Disney's Wilderness Lodge, and then the Captain's Grill at Disney's Yacht Club. So, yeah, if you want to get an extra discount on food at these particular restaurants, you should take advantage of this if you're a annual pass holder or a DVC member.
The ones I see that will really make a difference is Gico, Flying Fish, Citrico's, and Artist Point. Those four would be major discounts because there are four signature restaurants.
Yep, you're going to save the most there because you're going to spend the most there.
Exactly. Our buddy John's saying he's probably going to go to Gico during his vacation. He has a vacation coming up. Yeah, he's staying. Remember one night or a couple nights he's staying down there, and he said he thinks he's going to run over to Gico. He hasn't tried it yet. He hasn't eaten there yet, and he said with 30% discount, he goes, he has to try it.
Well, good for him.
You're not going to get that too often.
Nope. Hopefully he has a better experience than he had at the boathouse.
Well, if you don't like Gico, man, I'm going to have issues with
him. Then we give up on him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, unless they come out in the bar and the waiter hits him in the head with a piece of meat. We've had a couple meals. It's been phenomenal there. And everybody we've had on the show, there hasn't been a negative word about it. I mean, we got to get your butt over there.
To Gico, yeah. That's on my short list.
Well, if you're down there for 9, 11, whatever darn days you're going to end up having down there, I think you should be able to fit Gico in one of them.
Yeah, maybe we'll wing that. Or maybe just Sue and I will go over if the others are tied up and, you know, we don't want to put that burden on the rest of the group, you know, being it's, fairly expensive. Maybe we can work something out.
Well, that would be nice. Give you and her a nice night for each other and get away from it and give the kids a chance to go do what they want to do.
Exactly.
What you should do is you should talk to Samantha and see what, you know, because I'm sure she already has some meals planned out, you know, for them two to go, you know, on their honeymoon. You know what I'm saying? And nights they have something booked for themselves, maybe you should then book something for you and Sue.
Yeah, not a bad idea. I'll have to look at my Disney app thing there. I know she's got some ADRs already put in there. I really don't even know where we're eating. It's the first trip I've never really I'm not really paying attention to it. I'm letting her run with it. It's her honeymoon, wedding, trip, whatever. So I'm not getting too involved with it. So we'll have to see.
I know it's killing you.
In a way, I'm kind of curious to see what she booked and where
you're interested in what you're paying for, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's Disney. How bad can it be? Wherever it is, it'll be good.
Oh, the meals are going to be great. But yeah, that might be something nice for you too. You got to try to poke your head over into the Brown Derby Lounge outside there and grab something.
Yep. I got all these things written down. I will get some knocked off the living list for sure this trip.
Yeah, me and Brenda's going to hopefully knock some off ourselves. We're looking forward to it. Anything else, Dan?
Nah, just that Columbia Harbor House is also on the mobile order. Sometime over the last week, they went on to that program too. So there's another restaurant. You can use that app in your My Disney Experience if you want to pre-order your food.
Yeah, well, I think it's useless if you're not getting a discount. So if you're not getting the – don't let Disney – if you get a discount, don't let them get away with it by booking this.
Yep. Hold out.
Well – okay, family of four, if you get the – what is the normal DVC discount for you, Dan?
For dinner?
For the snacks and all. Was it 20%?
Yeah, it's normally 20%. Yeah.
Okay, so if you go to Harbor House, that's a $40 meal. That's 20%. That's money.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just a – it's – worth doing it. It's legitimate money. You're right. It's not just we're going to save a couple bucks. 20%, that's, you know, in a $100 bill, there's 20 bucks, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the point of it is that Disney is counting on you not to use it. I mean, to use it did not have to give you the discount.
Right.
Dude, there is no way in that they cannot have that added in. It just makes no sense.
Yeah. They got it covered every which way. And you're right. They're planning on a certain amount of people just not knowing or forgetting or whatever, and you know, Disney puts the $20 back in its pocket.
It's amazing how they can't figure out how to add that on right away, but I guarantee they figured out every way not to lose a nickel.
Right, yeah. They would have had that figured out if it was going to cost them 5 cents. You're right.
Exactly. It's just, I don't know. And these are, like I said, these are the things that drive me nuts. If you're an annual pass holder and a DVC owner, and you order on this mobile app, and you're too lazy to walk away and go up to the window, I mean, just give them that 20%. If you do 5 meals in a week, or 6 or 7, and you do mobile ordering all week, say you did it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you're probably giving them $100 back.
Yep. You're right.
Why, though? I mean, it's just, I don't, that's the thing. I don't understand how they could get this Slinky Dog track to go together perfectly, but they can't get you a 20, they can't add your discount to the app. It's bullcrap.
Can't do it.
But how did they add tax to the app?
Right.
How did they add all that to the bill? They figured out how to add tax to it. Add all that in. They figured out how to make it all add together and the whole, but they can't figure out how to add your discount. That's bullcrap.
Yep. They just don't want to for whatever reason.
No, the reason is it's money, making money, and they count on you paying for the convenience.
Yep, that's true.
That's the thing that really rubbed me the wrong way that they do to you. We're all so damn loyal.
No, that's the trouble, and they take advantage of that because they know that, you know, we might moan and groan, or a certain amount of us will moan and groan, but it won't cause us to not go or not book a trip or not still, you know, do all the things down there that we love to do. So unfortunately, our loyalty works against us in these things.
Exactly. Like, I honestly, and I tell this all the time, and I know I digress going back to this, but like, my local Target is like I'm there all the time. And when that store first opened, if there was 13 registers, they'd have girls waiting and guys waiting at the end of the registers to take you. There was like, if they had, I loved it. That, me and my wife would like applaud them all the time for how fast you're in and out of there. I mean, they'd have 8-10 registers open at all times. You never had to wait in line. Now, I go there, there's 3 or 4 open, and there's 4 self-checkout lines. And there's always a crowd there. I mean, it's backed up. It's to the point now where I'm getting to the point where I don't even want to go there no more. And it aggravates me because I know that there's like 6 or 7 employees that are not working there no more.
Right. Yeah, I was just in Target yesterday, and you're absolutely right. There was more self-checkout registers than I had seen any time previously that I've been at Target. And most of the other lines, I think there was 1 or 2 that were open, and the rest were all empty. So probably they cut hours or cut shifts or whatever, and they don't need as many people there. So that's the result of using these self-checkouts.
And this is the thing. Then that's going to happen at Disney. You're going to end up going in Pecos bills, as people like to call it, but I call it Pecos. You're going to go into Pecos bills, and you're going to walk up and see one cast member standing behind the counter, and you're going to have 5 self-checkout windows.
Yep. I mean, I think you're right. You're kind of tongue-in-cheek. It'll always be a balance of both. They'll have to have, but I think it's going to trend in that direction. I totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, no cast member, like, and even in the stores, like, it's driving me crazy. Like, you'll walk into a lot of the stores, like, on what is the one on Main Street? I always forget the name of that.
Emporium?
The Emporium. The last few times I've been in there, when I used to go into Emporium 10 years ago, there'd be 5 or 6 cast members roaming around. The last couple times I've been in there, I had to look for one.
Yep, I totally agree. They're all busy, you know, working with guests at the register, or they're bagging items and whatever. But there used to be, you know, just cast members you could ask questions of, or where can I find this, or what could I do? And they were there kind of just to converse with the guest and kind of, you know, help you along. I agree. You go in there now, and sometimes you can't even find one.
No,
they're not there.
And usually there's like, what, 4 or 5 registers that used to always be open in there.
Yep.
The last couple times, there was like 2 open.
I mean, it's the main anchor ones they have there, but they've changed the locations and they've gotten rid of some of the additional registers, let's just say, that were there. You're right. They've revamped the whole thing. But
And I noticed the same thing at Mouse Gears, too, on our last trip. Well, me and Brenda used to go on Mouse Gears. There'd be 10, 15 employees just working the floor.
I think
there was two or three last trip.
Usually one in each section or, you know, different areas of the store that could answer questions specific about that area. And, you know, I'm not saying you never see them
now.
They're not near as in abundance as they were, you know, 5-10 years ago. That I agree.
I mean, there was times where I go into Mouse Gears, depending on the time of the day, and there'd be more cast members than people shopping.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the way it was. I mean, when you – don't you remember – and I haven't seen this, and maybe it was just last trip, but – I remember when you used to go underneath that go through that tunnel where Mouse Gears and Interventions is.
Yep.
They used to have the balls there and all that stuff. I didn't even notice them there last trip. Did you?
No, I did not notice, Doug.
Yeah, they used to have a couple cast members outside to direct you underneath there, and they would play, throw the balls at you, and you'd throw it back to them. And
Yeah, I don't think they were there when I went through last time. I know what you mean.
Me neither, but I remember there would always be like three or four cast members just standing underneath there to help you out.
Yep.
It just seems like they're few and far between. More of it's get on your day. And this is why, like, my Disney Experience app I like, but I'd still rather ask the cast member.
Right.
But that's
right.
The point I'm making. It seems like they're doing away with the cast members and making you use your maps on my Disney Experience.
Yep. Oh, yeah, there's no doubt that's what they're pushing for. I mean, if you think about it, they're getting you to use your own personal your own personal equipment, if you will, to run their apps or their programs on, you know, and they're not giving you something to do that. I mean, you know, they're letting you use it, so that's a win-win for Disney, right? They don't have to supply any media or any equipment for you to do that. They're utilizing your equipment to run their stuff on, so how good is that for Disney?
Exactly. It's just like I want more interaction. I mean, I don't know. I just seemed the last time I roamed around the parks, I seen cast members, but it wasn't like it normally is, and that's credited to my Disney Experience, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Doug. And you know, unless something drastic happens, I see it continuing and getting worse and worse, not better. And you know, it's great that we have technology and all these wonderful things. And,
yeah, because we're not technology fuddy-duds. We embrace it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I enjoy technology. It's fun. And when it helps you get something faster or better or different, I mean, you know, it can be a good thing, but it isn't for all things.
No, I think it should enhance it but not replace it. I want the cast member. I want people to have jobs, Dan. That's what it's all about for me. And I think that's the union man in me and stuff like that.
Yep.
You know, I look out for my brother. You know what I'm saying? I just worry about people losing jobs. Because the bottom line is if everybody stops working, there's going to be nobody's going to have the money to go.
Right, yeah. If you're not working, you're not going on vacation. It's as simple as that. So
and the robots ain't going to show up. The robots or the computers, the self-checkout machines ain't going to show up at Disney World for their trips. Am I right or wrong? It's just that simple.
That's true.
And it blew me away. My friend Carol, she leaves for Disneyland next week. She's going for a couple of days. And I'm hoping her brother does. He's a writer for a local newspaper. And I'm trying to get him to write an article about Disneyland for us to post on our website. So I'm hoping he does that for me.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine. I've done work on their house for years, and they become like family to me because I've been with them for so many years. I mean – she's a wonderful – they're a wonderful family over there, and I'm friends with her and Carol and her brother Rob, and they're headed to Disneyland to visit their brother. And she was asking me about FastPass and stuff out there because they have different things than we do there. And it still shocks me that they have the old-fashioned the old-fashioned FastPass ticket booth.
Right.
It's still there.
Yep.
I'm like, I mean, aren't you amazed that they haven't gone to the Magic Bands?
I am, but it's a different animal out there, but I guess they're heading that way or will be going that way soon, right?
Yeah, because she was asking me how FastPass and all this other works, because they have that special FastPass where you pay the extra $10 for it, and you can book them on your app, like they charge you if you want to be able to do them on your on the they have a parks app for Disneyland.
Okay.
But the point was is I still can't believe they use the original park hopper machines out there still. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but it just shocked me when I was calling out there to confirm it, because I knew it was, but I wanted to call and make sure they were still using them. You follow me? Because I said,
yeah.
I said the last I heard, Carl, they're still using the regular like they used at Disney World. You walk up, you put your ticket in, and they give you your Fast Pass.
Right.
And I think that's how it still is. And I called out there, and they confirmed that they're still doing the old style.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just, so, you know, just to get them to the next update, if you will, where they convert over to the, you know, doing the app and all that stuff. But I don't really pay attention to that out there, but I have heard and read stories. And each week when we do the news, sometimes it will reference Disneyland as well. But as a rule, I don't pay too much attention to it.
Yeah, I was just shocked that they're still old school like that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I couldn't believe they're still using that. I just figured with all them locals out there, Magic Bands would be like a gold mine.
Right, right.
Because they have like, you know, and I'm not saying it to be bad, but they have like, out there in Disneyland, it's a different animal. It's more of a locals park than it is a visitors park. I mean, there you have all the locals there all the time, and you would think that Magic Bands would sell big time out there for all the locals.
Right, right. Yeah, because they all use that as their everyday park, and, you know, they love Disney, so why wouldn't they get a nice Magic Band, right?
Yeah, like my choo-choo train.
Yeah.
but anyway, is that all we have for this week, then?
Yeah, that's all I got for news.
Yeah, this ends. I'm dragging it on because as soon as this ends, I got to go weed and cut the grass and do the lawn. And,
yeah, you know, anything.
Yeah, real life begins again.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm looking forward to doing another show with you on Tuesday, Dan. We'll have more to complain about, I'm sure.
All right.
If you guys could, please, I'm complaining now, could you please go over to iTunes and leave us a review? We'd really, really appreciate it. You know what I'm saying, Dan?
Yes, we need reviews. We've gotten them fairly consistently, but we'd love to get about 10 or 12 more, I think.
Yeah, it couldn't help hurt, Dan. Didn't hurt at all. I mean, and then our buddy John, he's still doing the Weekly Pint. You can head over and check him out, Beer Solo and the Weekly Pint. Have you listened to him, Knuckleheads, lately, Dan?
Yes, I've listened to all their shows. It automatically loads onto my my phone, and I listen when I take my walk in the morning. So, yes, I have heard their recent shows.
So is there any beers that you're planning on drinking because of him?
No, not at all. No, the victory stuff I pay attention to, and but yeah, other than that, they were talking about Brooklyn beers. I think his partner went up to the city and got a bunch of beer there, but it didn't interest me.
I'll tell you what, at the Bonefish, I just had a Brooklyn lager. And I've had it it was weird, like. Bonefish, I love. It's like our go-to place. We had to take Mom out to the doctor's, so on the way home on Monday, we stopped and we had dinner.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the Brooklyn Lager a couple times ago, but they have these pot stickers. And we've never had a bad meal there, so I decided to get, like, pot stickers, the firecracker shrimp, a side of mashed potatoes. I got the couple appetizers in my entrees. As I wanted something different. Well, I ate these pot stickers. Dennis, it was like they put 1,000 pounds of salt in these. They were just so bad. And I ate two of them. Well, here, because I thought maybe it was just the first one. So I ate the second one. It totally ruined my meal. And then it ruined the beer for me. The salt with the beer, it kind of messed it all up. And I felt bad. And we've never had a bad meal. And the guy comes up to wrap everything up. He goes, "You barely ate anything." And I said, "Well..." And I wasn't trying to get out of it. I said, "There was so much salt in them, I couldn't eat them." And he goes, "I've had that happen before." So he comes back with the bill. He actually took the pot stickers off my bill, which I was surprised with. And he threw them away. And it was a shame because there's 8 of them. And I ate two. Brenda grabbed one to try it. I said, "You try this." And then she goes, "Not that bad." And then all of a sudden it hit her. She's like, "Oh, my God, I can't believe you ate 2 of them." I said, "Well, I felt bad. We bought them." I said, I wanted to make sure it was wrong. And here it was wrong.
Right. Well, that was nice of them to take it off. Not that you brought it up to have that happen.
No.
But, I mean, that was the right thing to do. And even though you didn't enjoy your meal, at least you didn't pay for it on top of it.
Absolutely. And I want to read, we just got another, we did get another review lately. It's called Cheddar 2014, his handle is. Love this podcast. It's just like you're sitting down at the local bar and talking about your favorite subject, Walt Disney World, with your friends. And I don't believe this part, but I'll read it anyway. The addition of Bob and John have made the podcast even better. Do you believe that, then?
Oh, boy. yes, actually.
Yes, but no, yeah, those guys do a great job. And we're glad that – we wish we had them on more, but – they're both busy. Bob's busy running our website. It's all in WDW. And our buddy John now, he's busy riding the Wildlife Express. So go check John out and tell him you listen to the podcast, and I'm sure he'll like to chat up with you about it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But thank you, Cheddar, for the review. We really, really appreciate it. And, yes, we do believe John and Bob are a good addition to the show. They've always been here, just they've been a little more present lately. Mm-hmm. But anyway, again, head over to see John at Beer Solo and the Weekly Pint. You can find my good buddy Dennis, who's always here with me, at Oak Manor. You can find Bob at It's All in WDW. You can find me at Grumpy6767. And you can find us all at WDW Main Street. Be kind to one another. Have a great week, and we will talk to you real soon.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it, guys. It's last call here at the pub. We're going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and head on out of here. But before we go, let me tell you about two of our other fine sponsors. American Tourist Travel. If you need a Disney vacation booked, contact us at American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. That's going to be it, guys. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a very safe and happy week. Bye-bye.